you know, Ryan always provides good ideas, but I think today's good idea is a fantastic idea. If you brought lunch, why have it outside? Why wouldn't you?
Let's hold class outside today. What do you say?
I think we could do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Can't we do the show outside? I'll go sit in a bed of tulips.
All right. I'm up for that. I think that's a great idea.
Can I tell you what started my day wonderfully? Driving in, a little backed up on the Eisenhower, but you get a school bus full of kids in front of you, and they're waving to you. And you wave back, and you have made their entire day.
Right. Do they want you to blow the horn, too, the diesel horn?
No, but it's really funny you say that, because as I'm following them, first of all, it's like I waved to them once, and they all got excited, and then I gave them a thumbs up, and I followed them for several miles, yeah. So they kept waving, and it's like, dudes.
The whole time?
Yeah, I've done it. What do you want me to do? So then I was making faces for a while, and they were cracking up,
yeah.
And then they were doing the pull the horn
sure.
to the truck drivers, and the truck drivers were not obliging.
Well, it's a law. You
it
have to
a
as a
law.
Truck driver. You have to blow the horn.
That broke my heart.
It's Did you tell the truck driver to blow the horn, too?
I'm Maybe supposed that to be driving.
Right. The main focus in this scenario is focus on the road. But if a school bus full of kids is doing the blow the horn sign, you owe it to them.
And I can't believe how cute they were, and I can't believe how excited. They all, like, cheered and roared and hands in the air
sure.
when I waved to them the first time. And then after about the fourth time, I just did the hands up like, guys, what now?
Right.
You want me to take my shirt off?
I would imagine that. I know the answer to that.
And the truck driver, Maeve.
Right. Then he would have blown his horn. Sorry. But
Ryan, write down the word shock jock and circle it. I'll tell you why later. Just write that down.
I just cannot get over how kids stand on buses. I know the school bus driver, Otto,
yeah.
if you will,
yeah.
will say something like, little dudes, little yeah. dudettes, you got to all sit down. But they don't, and there aren't seatbelts on school buses.
You saw the video yesterday of that girl who fell off the back of a bus, right?
No.
Did you see this?
Terrifying.
You have to see this. It's unbelievable. This bus is going full speed, and then the back door opens, and this little girl, was she six, Ryan? I think she
yeah,
was six.
Yeah, somewhere around there. She was hanging on the side,
four.
Right?
Four?
Four, yeah,
She's
that's
holding
right,
on to the back, like there's a handle on the back, and then she finally just fell, and then there was a guy who I think was a firefighter.
Yeah, he was a first responder, just so happened to be right there.
Yeah, so he came to her rescue. But he did the thing that they always say you're not supposed to do if somebody's in an injury situation like that, is he scooped her up. Of course, to put in his car and then take her to the hospital. But they always say in a situation like that, you're not supposed to move the person in case there's any kind of neck injury or
neck
something.
Neck or back.
I'm trusting
yeah.
the firefighter on
I
this
would,
one.
Too.
I think
and I also wouldn't want to lay in the middle of the street for much longer than I needed to.
That's why you moved her.
Yeah, I think that's what they tell dopes like us. But firefighters,
right.
they figure
they
it
know.
Out.
They know, yeah.
I think that you're not supposed to move someone unless they're in danger. Then it's like dead or back injury.
Yeah.
You move them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so why are there not seatbelts on buses? And I thought there was a law to start putting them, because you hear a rolled over school bus,
right.
kids are falling all over the place.
Yeah, I can't figure out why. I've never been in a school bus that had seatbelts, and you think that would be the first vehicle you'd put a seatbelt in would be a school bus.
They don't have them.
But what, is it a money-saving issue?
I don't know, but I thought this was supposed to... I had heard rumors of this or some kind of chatter about it a couple
yeah.
years ago
oh,
where
yeah,
they
forever.
Were going to start putting them in, but, oh my God, I saw the toddler fall out.
Isn't that frightening?
Yeah.
And then the bus just... I mean, it keeps going, which I'm curious about, because wouldn't you know if you were driving a bus and the back door opened and a kid fell out, you would... That's in your rearview mirror.
Usually,
you
when
see
the
that.
Usually when that back entrance goes, there's some kind of alarm too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think.
Yep. So they were trying to determine last night. I saw the story in the daytime, but then they were still trying to unravel what exactly happened. They were trying to determine if the girl could have opened the latch herself, if the door was securely closed or locked, and she somehow opened it, or if it just flew open. They still hadn't determined that as of last night.
She was unconscious for a bit.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
All right, Sue, you're a bus driver?
Oh, yes.
Boy, guys, I do not I do not envy you.
You got me fired up.
What's going on?
Well, first of all, honking the horn, bad idea.
Oh, with the semis when they're making that pull down?
Oh, yeah.
Why is it a bad idea? What happened?
I've been on 94 a zillion times. I've been a bus driver in Valpo for going on 27 years. And I've been to Chicago many times, and you get out there, and there's two things that you don't mess with, trains and semis. And those guys, as it is, everybody's going at least 55, and you get someone blowing their air horn, and those things are loud, and it's a major distraction.
It's startling.
Now, it is, and it's not a good thing for the driver to have to deal with, you know. It's bad enough when you got 50 or 60 kids behind you.
How do you, and, you deal know, with that?
Well, even with chaperones, I mean, sometimes the chaperones are pretty useless, you know.
Oh, take
they
that,
don't
chaperones.
Set a good example, you know.
Maybe semi-drivers should have two horns, the air horn and then that little, like, tricycle, that little ring, 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 like that kind of a yeah. horn. So when kids see them, they can just move their finger. Make the ring, ring noise.
Know, going into the seatbelt thing, okay?
Yeah.
Totally against it. And I can tell you a couple reasons why right off the top of my head.
Why?
The buses are designed to, I mean, school bus, safest vehicle on the road, hands down, no matter what, okay? Those seats, if a kid is sitting properly in their seat, those seats are designed, and that's their little safety zone. And, you know, they've done crash tests with buses and seat belts, and, you know, they have more head and neck injuries with the belted-in kid than a kid that just, if he goes forward in a crash, then that seat protects him as far as, you know, his whole body is there instead of just his head or his neck.
Like a backboard kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and...
But what about in a rollover, Sue?
Well, first of all, there's not much you can do about that. I mean, the rollover is bad. They don't happen very much, thank goodness.
Yes.
I mean, my bus route in town, you know, I'm never going faster than 30 miles an hour, okay? And... You know, chances of a rollover are minimal. I mean, they do happen, but
they're not common.
They're not. And it's a bad thing. But, you know, can you imagine, okay, I'm at the school and bell rings 3:15 and maybe by 3:25 my students come out and I've got 45 kids. And I can't roll that bus until every one of those kids is properly belted in, and I have
guess.
To make sure that they're all belted in, and, you know, I'm not getting out of there till 3:45. You know, it's just, it's a time thing. It's not a money thing. It really isn't
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I mean, if they could prove to me that is the ultimate safety tool on a school bus, I would go for it. But from what I've seen, it's not.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your opinion. We have to run, but drive safely out there, okay? Precious cargo.
All right. Yes, for
Bye,
sure.
Sue. Thank
guys.
You so much.
Don't you love when parents say that?
Yes.
Precious cargo.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We've got other people on the line. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Who's on the bus go round and round, round and round.
I saw you two open with this at Soldier Field a couple years ago.
That would
crowd
kill.
Pleaser.
All right, I was driving in today, and on the Eisenhower, there were a bunch of school buses, and there was one right in front of me with a bunch of kids all standing up, I might add.
Oops, that's not safe.
Towards the back of the bus anyway. And they were waving at me, and I waved back, and it was like I gave them $1 million. They all roared, raved, and
sure. We made an
hysteric.
Adult do something against her wishes.
And then, you know, I waved a couple, two more times. Then by the fourth time, I put my hands up like, I got nothing.
My material.
And, of course, they were pulling the fist in the air, pulling down on the air horn that is the common signal for a trucker to blow their horn, mm-hmm. which doesn't it crack you up that how many years later than since we've been on a school bus that
right.
this still is the thing going on?
Yeah, 45 years later, it's still popular.
All right. And then also in the news, a 4-year-old toddler fell out of the back of the bus. It was one of the smaller buses, though. It wasn't your giant yellow
school. No, your traditional big. No, it wasn't.
And according to a listener, this young toddler opened the door herself.
Wow.
And when she fell, ended up breaking her jaw, which is a blessing when you think about
it. Could have been way worse.
Absolutely. So we talked about seat belts. Holly, you're also a bus driver?
Yes, ma'am. I've been there about 17 years now.
God love you. That explains it.
Yes. When I was in training, and it was with the largest school bus company in the country at the time, we asked why no seatbelts. The reason we were given, and I don't know if I bought it 100%, but was that the buses are at a higher level off the ground than a car, which is usually where your incident would be, and if they were hit, the seatbelts were on, they might cause more injury because the bus will be pushed up or bent up or something into a position where it might cause them more harm. Now, I didn't 100% buy that. What I do believe in my through my years is the enforcement, driver's ability to enforce the seat belts. Yes, I can walk down the aisle, make sure everyone has their seat belt hooked, but once I sit down, who knows? Are they going to unhook it? Are not, you know, and then if I get into an accident and little Bobby unhooked his seat belt and then he gets hurt, then
who's
I'm
responsible?
Also for that lawsuit.
Yeah, and I know the kids are supposed to be seated, and the ones on the way in this morning were not, so I'm sure it's impossible to make sure those kids in the back of the bus are seated. You can't keep going, I'm going to pull this bus over.
Well, when I do with my regular routes, and I am a strict driver, I'm not the worst strict driver. They don't hate me. But what I've done, because I pulled my hair out for several years figuring out how to keep them seated. One time I was taking a group of kids from one Morton campus to another, and I pulled over on the right side of Cermak, going west, right lane, stopped the bus, put my four-way lights on, and sat there.
Oh.
And I pulled out a book.
Yeah.
And it was hard because I know cars behind me were ready to kill me.
Sure.
But I'm thinking, okay, my point was to try to get them to police themselves.
Yeah.
Finally, someone said, guys, sit down, you know, and
yeah.
They finally did that. I only had to do that a couple times, and then they learned my role.
Wow.
And they stand up.
If you kids don't behave yourself, I will not take you kids to school.
Yeah, we're not rolling.
I'd be all right with that. All right.
Well, yeah. I would have said, let's go somewhere else then. But
yeah.
We're going to the zoo.
Let's go to the circus and see what they've got going.
Well, I understand your concern, and I have heard that too, that, you know, in the rare case of a rollover, seatbelts would help. But for the most part, day-to-day activities, they would cause more injuries than they would prevent, is what I've heard.
Yes. Now, some buses, my bus has a seatbelts designed for car seats and little kids up in the front, just like the first two rows. And they're the ones that go across the chest, just like for a young child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not for any older kids. But no, I don't know. Having a seatbelt, I don't think I could enforce it because I can't make sure they're going to stay buckled.
Good point. Holly, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. We have to take a quick break. If you're a truck driver, just honk back
just
at them.
Just honk
back.
Just
a little toot.
Come on. It's part of the job. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is almost too easy, but can you name this band? It's too easy.
Bananarama.
Bananarama.
Cruel Summer.
This is VH1's Behind the Music. I'm Kurt Loder.
I'm Nina Blackwood.
No, wait, even raspier.
Seriously?
Even way raspier.
I'm Nina Blackwood.
Still raspier.
It sounded like the Crypt Keeper. Is that what she
She's
sounds like
She's on satellite
now?
Radio now on the 80s channel.
Poor thing.
And I think she may have had a cigarette.
You think?
I think she may have smoked a cigarette at some point.
I always loved her voice.
Yeah. It's a little raspy now. Bananarama, Wendy, is coming back.
I love this retro stuff.
Isn't this good news? But the reason they're coming back starts out sad, but then it ends happy. They're spurned by the loss of George Michael. That's what made them decide, enough of this sitting around. We got to go entertain the masses.
Like they're going to pick up the slack? What?
Yes. They will pick up the slack. Now, there's a tie-in between these two bands. Do you know what it is? Between Wham, George Michael's Wham, and Bananarama?
Both have A's in their names?
They do both have A's in their names. Very good.
They all have the same fan base?
They, yes.
With money to spend? Disposable income?
Yes.
Sorry.
Older people trying to act young again?
One of the members of Bananarama, that would be Kieran Winwood, is married to Andrew Ridgely, who was the quieter of the Wham.
The other guy.
The Wham guy that isn't known.
Was it you who said, why was he even in it? Because he's really not doing much.
He just would nod, you know, he did what I would do when Wham was on. I would just nod my head and go, yeah.
Did he play guitar?
I don't know.
Keyboards?
I don't think so.
He pops up if you type in Google Wham other guy.
Right. John Oates is making fun of him.
John Oates was on the air with
us. Great.
And is
I love
very
John
great.
Oates.
Weren't you a little surprised that he could play guitar so wonderfully
and sing so
well?
He's a magnificent
virtuoso
guitar player. He's fantastic.
But wasn't that a little surprising?
Yes, because when you saw them on television, all the focus, and I mean all the focus,
was on Daryl's hair.
Was on Daryl's hair, yeah. Yeah.
He had great hair.
No doubt about that. Bananarama's comeback was inspired by the death of George Michael. It says here, the original lineup of the pop trio, that would be Siobhan Fahey, Sarah Dallin, and Karen Winwood, have reunited for a UK tour and some new music almost 30 years after Siobhan left the group to start the group Shakespeare's Sister in 1988. Have you ever heard them?
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
I don't think I'm a fan.
You don't like Shakespeare's Sister?
I don't really remember, so that to me proves that I'm not a fan.
I think they did two CDs or maybe a and I have two, so I think maybe they did two. They were really good.
Kevin, can we hear a little Shakespeare's Sister?
They're
Is there
really
a big
good.
Hit that you remember?
No, all their songs are equally as great. None are better, none are worse. They're all just great. So she left to form Shakespeare's Sister. They have now revealed that the passing of George Michael made them realize that it's now or never. If they're ever going to get back together, this is the time. Reflecting on the former Wham star's tragic death, Karen, who, like I mentioned, is married to Andrew Ridgeley, told the Sun newspaper in England, "It was so shocking and horrific. I remember the moment I found out in a phone call from another close friend on Christmas Day. He was such a huge part of our lives."
Why didn't Andrew Ridgeley tell her?
That would have been the move, you would think, right?
How did she find out via friends before Andrew Ridgeley did?
It doesn't say here in this article. But yeah, that would be...
Did they meet on tour? I bet they did.
That is also not addressed here.
I have all the questions. I am doing the behind the music.
You are asking Barbara Walters-style questions, and they all need answers, and they're not here in this article on Yahoo.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Do you know how many albums Bananarama sold?
Two.
No, 40 million.
Oh,
two?
I thought you meant two albums that they put together.
No.
How many total? 40 million.
40 million. How many of those 40 million did I buy?
27.
36 million.
You didn't.
I bought most of their albums. Can we play a little Shakespeare's Sister so Wendy can dance?
I'm suing you.
Listen how good this is.
Like I said, I don't think I liked them.
That's not their best effort. That's a little on the downside. That's a little sad.
It's like a female New
the
Order.
Trouble with, play The Trouble with Andre.
Let me see. Well, that one's got the most hits on Spotify
Does
by
it?
A large margin.
No, that one's too sad for me. But The Trouble with Andre is more upbeat.
Well,
are we doing the 2 for
George
Tuesday
Michael.
All morning
yes.
long?
Yes. 2 for Tuesday.
Okay.
Yes. Listen how great this is. This is about Andre and what's wrong with him.
Eric Andre?
No, just...
God, I've been watching that show. What is wrong with me?
It's all right.
Hannibal Buress is on it with him.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like a puppet.
Yeah. Some people say he has a death wish. Sing along, Wendy.
Oh, this is upbeat. Has a death wish?
Yeah, but it gets happier because they discern what the trouble with Andre is. And by the end of the song, you're like, oh, now I understand what's wrong with that guy. Andre... Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think I'm a fan.
Oh,
and now I know I'm not a fan.
Hurtful.
They need to bring the synthesizer people back out of the shadows. You know,
right.
they've been buried in studios
I'm
for
with
a
you.
While now. You got to bring them back out.
Flock of Seagulls still playing.
Yep.
Or playing again, I guess I should say.
Yeah. There's room
God,
for
God, I loved the 80s. Come
well,
back to me, 80s.
Bananarama is coming back, Wendy, in England. We'll have to do a Hometown Voices somewhere in Kent.
She was really saying something.
Yep.
Bop, bop.
Bop, bop.
Baby,
bop,
shoo, wop,
bop. Bop. All right, we'll take a break.
We're old. It's official.
Yeah, now it's official. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll just rock in chairs for the rest of the day. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Well, it's Tuesday, and every Tuesday we get a visit from Bridget Carey from CNET. Hi, Bridget. How are you?
Hey, doing good.
Excellent. This is great news. Bridget, please, if you would, explain to everybody. This is a word that many of us have not heard before, but we're going to hear Waymo. What is Waymo?
Well, I have Waymo to tell you about it. Sorry, that was so bad.
Wendy, that killed in rehearsal.
Okay, so, yes, Google has been working on self-driving cars for 8 years, and they renamed their self-driving car program Waymo. So you and I haven't heard of it, but hey, you know, it's been around for 8 years because it's Google. And they are now ready to put this into beta test and actually have self-driving cars come pick you up at your house and take you where you need to go. Take the kids to soccer practice, take you to work, but it's not really you because it's not for Chicago. It's just for Phoenix, Arizona.
But in Arizona, this is happening right now, today, people are doing this?
Well, yes, and they're opening it up to more people, hundreds of people. There's an application online where you can say, you know, these are like Chrysler minivans. So the idea, I think, is that you'll be given preference if you're not, if you have a family, you know, because they really want to see the true experience. And you're not going to be alone in the car. There's still a human behind the wheel to take over if something happens. But they say it's more like just to kind of talk to people, get a sense of how they like it. At least initially, there'll be people in the car still. So it's not completely, you know, robotic.
So, Bridget, be honest. Let's say you were a part of this system, this Waymo system in Arizona, and you order a car and it comes by. And like you said, now there is a driver just in case. But at some point, that won't be it. It'll just be a driverless car. Are you okay with that today? Would that, if that happened to you today, would you be all right with that?
Yeah, because I live in New York, and that'd be crazy. driving here is insane. But yeah, I think if I was by myself, there would be a little bit of a freaky moment. I think I still would want to be traveling with my husband or with a friend. I don't think I would feel comfortable just being quietly alone in a car as it drives itself. Yeah. I'm getting used to that, right?
That would be weird. It's one thing if it was on a track, like at an amusement park, you know what I mean? And then it wouldn't veer off, but I mean...
I'd be nervous the whole time.
Knowing my luck, the thing would just completely break down, flip over, and explode.
Yeah.
And you know this has been tested for 8 years.
Right.
You and
not
I,
long enough.
You know, we're not... Yeah, we're not seeing it in action, and that's why these are like baby steps. And in Arizona, you don't... The law says you don't have to have someone behind the wheel. They're just doing that right now, I think, for that comfort feeling.
So who's responsible in the case of an accident?
Well,
Google?
Good question, right? But I have some good insurance. Yeah, it would be Google. Well, Google's parent company, Alphabet, like anyone ever calls it that. But
they'll
yeah.
be in way more trouble than they think.
Did you hear what Wendy
I
just
like
did?
It.
That was excellent. All right, so that's going on in Arizona. Now, does this mean, Bridget, because they talked about when there's driverless cars that they need to put sensors in the road, everywhere in the road. Does that mean that that's already happened in Arizona, or are they using some other technology other than sensors?
No, it's the cars themselves that have the sensors right now. I mean, ideally, it would be a great backup program to have more sensors in the road and to have things kind of communicate to, like, know, all right, this car is here and this car is there. And, you know, almost as another set of eyes for the cars to kind of check and ping each other to know something is in the way here, something's not in the way there. Right now, though, it's all in the car.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay, so they have 100 of these, I should say, though, right now in their fleet, and they're going to add 500 more. So that gives you a sense of how many self-driving cars are going to be zipping around the roads.
This will teach you not to honk at anyone, because sometime there won't be anybody driving, so you'll be wasting your time.
Right.
Won't that be weird?
Yes, it would be.
Oh. All right, iPhone news. I love my iPhone. I'm not one of those Apple people per se, but I do have a MacBook Pro, which I love. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. But when will it all stop?
Never stop. Okay, so this year is their 10th anniversary, and, you know, you hear all these reports that Apple's going to pull out all the stops and have a whole different kind of phone, and it's going to be totally different. And, well, it actually looks like maybe Apple's new iPhone won't be as fast as what Samsung made with the Galaxy S8. So here's the short version of a long explanation. It has to do with the chip that connects to your wireless service, your LTE, your 4G. Right now, Samsung has a deal with Qualcomm. They make the fastest one out there. That can, I should say, take advantage of a new type of 4G that's rolling out. It's called LTE, whatever. No one's going to call it that. But, you know, the point is that, you know, wireless carriers, you know, they're getting better towers. The reception is going to get stronger and faster. And you need a chip to be able to take advantage of that. So Samsung's phone's got it. The S8 has it. Apple, though, is having a bit of a beef right now with Qualcomm, and they're having some phones that have Qualcomm chips and some phones that have Intel chips. It's long. There's a lawsuit involved. Needless to say, they're not going to have likely this top of the line thing with Qualcomm, because if some phones have the Qualcomm and some phones have the Intel, well, Intel can't match that. So their phones aren't going to be able to take advantage of the fastest 4G that's possible. Now, you and I aren't going to notice that right away, but you keep your phone for 2 years, 3 years. Yeah, then it's going to start to matter, because that's in 2 or 3 years, that's when we're really going to start to take advantage of these faster speeds. I don't think hearing that my 4G is going to be a little less fast is going to stop anyone from getting an iPhone when you're already invested, especially folks with Macs and already have iPads in the house and you have a million apps already downloaded. It's not going to stop people from switching, you know, or get people to switch, I should say. But it just goes to show you that Apple still is always behind a little bit. Even on their 10th anniversary phone, it might not be the top of the line.
But I thought Apple was the be-all to technology. I mean, everybody rants and raves about it. I think it's embarrassing that the Galaxy has bypassed it.
Well, think about it, actually. They're not always the end-all, be-all best, because they kind of always wait a little bit before they do something. They were not the first to have the fastest speeds. They were not the first to even have copy and paste on their phone back in the day. But they don't have wireless charging, and there's been wireless charging for phones for a while. They don't have, like, their new one just has waterproof, and waterproof phones have been out for a while. So they're never first here, but everyone loves the operating system, and that's kind of where they shine.
That's the EOS, Bill.
The EOS system. All right.
All right. We have all, Bill and I have laughed about this. You would see an old-time phone receiver with a cord that people could plug into their iPhone and talk, and it's funny because the kids thought it was a novel thing.
Right.
That's how we used to use a telephone.
Uh-huh.
Well, now you can do something like that with a retro typewriter.
They have this as an option, actually. If you like old typewriter keys and you like that feel of the clunk, 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 you could buy mechanical keyboards that connect wirelessly to your computer to replace your normal keyboard. But there's a new one we have on CNET that we reviewed. It's called the Low Free. I don't know. It's a weird name, whatever. But it's adorable. It makes clicky sounds, and it says black keys. Now, the reviewer says she had a little bit of a hard time getting used to it and got kind of frustrated because she's so used to normal keyboards. You know, that said, if you like to be artsy in your workplace and want to have something neat, it's like $100, and you can get it on Kickstarter. It's got a little bit of that Mad Men 60s charm. You know?
Yes, and definitely doable in the price.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for all the updates. It's a Tech Tuesday here on WGN. Bridget Carey, you can find her at CNET.com. Have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Bridget. We'll take a quick break. News is next, and then more show. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's 720 WGN. And every month there is an awareness of some point. April is Autism Awareness Month, and we have the Executive Vice President of JCC Chicago, Addie Goodman, in the studio. Addie, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you.
All right. There's a mom who belongs to JCC and has two children on the autism spectrum, and she thought maybe it'd be better, instead of saying Autism Awareness Month, Autism Acceptance Month. Bottom line is autism is out there. We need to talk about it. We need people to know if you have a child on the spectrum, so does someone else.
Right.
You're not alone.
Correct.
All right. So explain the JCC Chicago and how you're coming together to help kids on the spectrum.
Sure. JCC Chicago has really embraced our community. We believe deeply in the model of a community center and welcoming every child and every family. With that lens, over the past couple of years, we've really expanded our programming to include initiatives that do serve every child and every family. We began with a program called All In Swim. This is an initiative that was ideated within our staff when we recognized that among the 900 or so children who are learning how to swim within our agency, we were missing a population that some children, especially those with autism spectrum disorder, were struggling within that model that we had on the table. So we came up with a curriculum. We were funded with a breakthrough grant from the Jewish United Fund of Metropolitan Chicago, and we now serve 45 children through All In Swim. This enables them to learn the life-saving skill of water safety, as well as
totally important,
critical, and then also gain some swim skills. But more important, swimming is a life stage skill. It is something that people learn at a specific time in their lives, alongside their peers. So now these kids can go to the beach, enjoy their community pool, be with their families during open swim, on vacation, enjoy a birthday party with their friends, and really be part of a community in an important way. And you wouldn't necessarily think that water or a swimming pool brings our community together in that way, but it certainly does. And our program journey really began with All In Swim.
What a great program. It really is.
Do me a favor. Talk about the difference of what goes on when in terms of autism as opposed to just a generation ago. Was it just not being diagnosed properly or enough a generation ago? What's changed in 30 years?
I think that what we're seeing is that families and individuals are more aware of signs and exhibits of behaviors and tendencies, mm-hmm. and are being responsive, so that we're giving the children who are manifesting these symptoms the attention and supports they need. And again, that's where JCC Chicago is really stepping in. How can we make sure that the needs of our individuals and families are at the forefront, and we can really be a source of support and a resource within our communities? Swimming is one area where we touch. We also opened up a new program called All Star Abilities. This program focuses on a slightly older age group, the mm-hmm. teenagers, a peer-to-peer fitness program. Happens in our fitness center with teens with special needs as well as those without. A buddy program, so kids are able to learn how to independently access a fitness center, get comfortable, know how to work out.
I need that. Seriously.
Don't we all? And really independently feel good about entering a workout center and develop some lifelong wellness skills. Sometimes in those teenage years, especially if you might not be a candidate for a sports team in your high school or a competitive baseball league in your community.
Right.
You want to be able to walk into a health center and do some pickup basketball or know how to turn on this machine and work up a little bit of a sweat. So we've got some wonderful teen buddies who are helping with that journey.
That's one of the best aspects of this, is the inclusion. For a long time, it seemed like if you had a special need of any kind, you were separate from people who don't. And that's changing. And that's so important, isn't it?
100%. I think especially when we look at inclusion for JCC Chicago, it began at summer camp. We have over almost 300 kids who we welcome between day camp and overnight camp in a very inclusive model. When you walk into one of our 9-day camps or Camp Shy or overnight camp in Wisconsin, you almost can't tell, mm-hmm. you know, who has a special counselor, who's part of the regular group. We absolutely are an inclusion model. It's wonderful for our children, campers who are in that spectrum group and those who are not. This summer, we are expanding that all-in-swim model to our day camp, where counselors who we welcome to our team in partnership with Keshet are going to be receiving training specific to that all-in-swim model.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we have very much a model of inclusion at day camp, we were seeing that in the pool, just like we were in our regular swimming program, that was a little bit of a downtime. The counselors weren't really sure how to make that time work well for those kids.
Yeah.
So now the counselors receive special training and even have waterproof iPads so that we can have some visual learning that happens in the pool, as opposed to some of the difficulties that we were seeing outside of just verbal communication with this population.
Addie Goodman is with us. Addie is the Executive Vice President of JCC Chicago. You can go to their website at jccchicago.org. Bill, you had mentioned what has happened. How come we're seeing more autism? I remember in high school there was a kid who, now that I think back, must have been on the spectrum. And it is a spectrum. It's not black and white. There are a lot of gray areas. And I think it's more common than we think. And a lot of people are, as you mentioned, this kid I went to high school with, he was separate with everything. He would go to classes with us, but he didn't hang out with people. He didn't have very many friends. And now, since we all talk about it and we can all come together and say no one's house is perfect, I think we're way more accepting now.
100%. You know, when we see, I think one of our most wonderful stories of the past year is we have some kids, especially at our overnight camp, who have been with the same group of kids for years and years and years. And we have a milestone program, staff and training. Some are going to your junior year of high school. It's a big deal for our campers. They really aspire to get to that point in their evolution at overnight camp. We have two children with special needs who are heading into that summer, and we were prepared to adjust the program so that we could accommodate them. And their cohort of campers said, no, don't make any changes. We will make sure that they are successful in this program. And by the end of the summer, not only were they successful, but one of the kids was nominated as Camper of the Year.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't not heartwarm me.
Yeah, that's right? That's excellent.
So that's, you know, the benefits for the kids who are serving directly through our inclusion programs are monumental. But for the kids who are part of the experience as well, who are supportive and witnessing the impact and understanding that we are all part of the community, as you mentioned, certainly there's benefit there, and certainly helping us all be part of one complete community.
Mm. And what sounds so crucial here is a lot of times social activity is kind of a problem on the autism spectrum. So this is some place for them to belong. And, you know, we all have kids that have certain issues and we need to embrace it. I have a couple of friends whose kids are on the autism spectrum. They take these kids everywhere. Lollapalooza, skiing, they take their children more places than I take mine. So get out, be proud.
100%. And if there's ever a place where you should be able to be welcomed and be feeling that you're invited, it's a community center. And that's what we aspire to be.
My daughter, Reese, headed up the Best Buddies program at Evanston High School 2 years ago. And I got to meet some of the kids who had various special needs. There was one girl in particular who had autism, who could see a movie one time. She could sit through a movie and then remember every line in the movie after seeing it only one time. How is that possible? What's going on in someone's brain that allows for that? I'm amazed by that.
So while I'm not an expert on autism, I too have children at Evanston Township High School for participating in the Best Buddies program. And mm-hmm. My experience through my children there, as well as through the programs that we offer at JCC Chicago, as you mentioned, everybody is different. Mm-hmm. And certainly the workings of the brain are complicated and fascinating. And how we're able to respond as to each individual is our goal.
Yeah.
And I think the goal for all of us. I think that, you know, we also have a goal, too, of appreciating those nuances.
Oh, yeah.
And those exceptional talents that each child brings to the table.
Yeah.
I have both my kids and I have been diagnosed with ADHD. There is a similarity and sometimes a crossover mm-hmm. with the autism spectrum disorder. And I know that a lot of times people say attention deficit, and that is for some things, but for something they're interested in, it's almost like a hyper focus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why some people can remember lines to movies. Some people can remember math problems. We all, I guess, have our gifts.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think that, well, there's areas where individuals focus on their own, whether it mm-hmm. be film or train schedules we've heard, you know, whatever it is, that social piece is so often the most difficult to come across.
Yeah.
The chance to connect with your peers, to do something different outside of your home or even outside of your family or even with your family. How can you feel like you're really part of the fabric of your society?
Yeah.
Those opportunities prove to be a little bit more challenging to come across, something that's a little less natural to you.
All right. Anyone listening that knows someone or has some children on the autism spectrum, how do they get involved? How do they find out more information about the JCC Chicago and all your programs, the All-In Swim and All-Star Abilities, all these things going on this summer?
Absolutely. It's all very clearly laid out on our website, as you mentioned, jccchicago.org. And our camp team, you know, summer's coming up, lots of opportunities there as well as year-round.
Thank you so much. You're doing great work. You really are. It's a pleasure to meet
you. Thanks, Addie. Appreciate you being here
today. Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I think a little of Steve Cochran has rubbed off on me.
What did you do? Did you poke yourself in the eye just like Steve did?
I think I honestly just got a paper cut in my eye.
I don't think that's possible.
I just hit myself in the eye with a piece of paper. I was trying to...
because why?
Our last guest...
dared you to.
Addie Goodman.
I dare you to hit yourself in the eye with some paper, she said.
No, this is how I multitask, okay? Addie Goodman, Executive Vice President of JCC Chicago, the yes. Jewish Community Center,
yes.
is a sorority sister of our own Andrea Darlis.
Yes.
So I texted Andrea to see if she was still here. She's in a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what I did with the paper, but I went to put it down and hit myself in the eye, and I went to tell Addie that Andrea was at a meeting. She says hi.
You know how a lot of times with people, they go, don't let them near sharp objects. With you, we say, just keep Wendy away from any paper products. We don't want her to injure herself.
Man, Kevin, lock you witnessed that, didn't you?
Yeah, it looked pretty awful.
You all right?
Yeah, but...
what do you need?
Nothing, but now my mascara, I'm going to look like it was the night after. And I'm doing the walk of shame with my hair all messy and mascara around my eyes.
But you can quickly explain to people it was just a paper mishap. Everything's fine. Business as usual. Nothing to worry about.
All right. I have to look at something because I was telling you about something.
Is this the Aaron Moran thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So yesterday we talked a little bit about the death of Aaron Moran, who played Joni Cunningham on Happy Days. Very sad. She was just in her mid-50s. And there have been some new revelations in terms of what took the life of Aaron Moran. And then some celebrities... responded to her death and then had to kind of retract some of what they said.
Well, and Scott Baio, who of course was...
Chachi Arcola.
And they had a show together, and I don't know how well
not
they...
Not just a show, Wendy. Joni Loves Chachi changed a generation.
No,
it changed entertainment forever.
No. Watch the channel.
Now, here's the thing.
Wait, Ryan's even too young. You didn't even see Joni Loves Chachi,
no.
did you?
I mean, it hit syndication, but no.
Did it? No, yeah, it I couldn't think, have, because it was only on for one season. I don't think they could syndicate a one-season show.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
think.
Maybe I'm just mixing up my shows. I don't know.
All right, well, Scott Baio, I cannot find his original comment that he made on Twitter, because all the people that Aaron Moran has worked with, Henry Winkler,
right.
They Anson Williams,
Ron Howard,
they all had these
Donnie
just,
Most.
You know, maybe she found peace finally, and
yeah.
I will admit that Aaron Moran has had some troubled years.
Yes.
She's had alcohol problems, drug problems, eviction problems.
Yep.
And it turned out... there were several reports when she was found unresponsive.
Yeah.
Drugs were thought about first.
And I have to say, even though you go, well, you shouldn't just assume if you find somebody dead that it was a drug overdose at that age. But she really had some issues with alcohol and with drugs and a lot of horrible things.
And she also had stage 4 cancer, which I don't know if they have updated. But yesterday when that the autopsy results came over, they mentioned stage 4 cancer, but they didn't specify as to what type of cancer.
Correct.
I don't know if that has since changed. But Scott Baio tweeted something pretty nice, and then he's on this radio show. God, who was it? I don't know, Biff and Bunny.
Oh, is he on with Biff and Bunny?
The Bernie and Sid show. Close.
All right.
Bernie and Sid show. And
By the way, if I'm ever fired from this show, and that's going to happen at some point, I'm going to see if I can't catch on with Bernie and Sid.
All right.
I bet that's
I'm
a
going
great
with
show.
Biff
about
and Buffy.
Student loan refinancing
right.
and things like that.
Right. Right. The Bernie and Sid show.
Not Bernie Sanders.
No, it's not Bernie
okay.
Sanders.
Right.
But those are still the topics that Bernie and Sid like to cover. And the heat. They talk about the heat a lot.
I don't even know what town they're
Bernie,
in.
The heat. Oh, Sid, don't get me started with the heat. We're going to talk to Scott Baio in a few minutes. You think it's hot where he is? Oh, yes.
All right. Well, here's his exact quote, what Scott Baio said on the Bernie and Sid show on Monday morning yesterday. I don't know what town they're based out of.
I think they're in New York, WABC.
Oh.
Are they?
WABC.
Yeah.
All right, here's his exact quote. Now, this is after he put a nice little tweet on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty sweet, quite honestly. And then now he's talking and, you know, assuming that she had died of a drug overdose.
Right,
and
right.
here's his quote. My thing is, I feel bad because her whole life she was troubled, could never find what made her happy and content. For me, you do drugs or drink, you're going to die.
Well, he's right. If you do drugs or drink, you're going to die. But as somebody on Facebook pointed out, and if you don't do drugs and drink, you're going to die.
Everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
I know.
Spoiler alert.
She's young, only 56. It does seem like something contributed to that.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe drugs and alcohol did contribute to her ailing health despite the cancer.
Right.
Bayo took to Facebook to defend his comments yesterday. Today, mm-hmm. after he said these comments yesterday, he said, quote, he was very heartbroken over her passing, especially since it was cancer.
Oh, that's awkward.
It is awkward.
It is awkward.
Bayo had said during the interview that he was, quote, not completely shocked by his co-star's passing. He said, I knew Erin well over the last many years. I have not spoken with her. She was just an insecure human being and fell into this world of drugs and alcohol. Again, I don't know if that's what killed her. I'm sure it was a culmination of years and years of doing it that might have had something to do with it. She just never found her way. That's not so bad.
No, that's not so bad.
It's the truth. Bayo swiftly became the target of social media vitriol after the actual likely cause of death was released by officials who also said they found no drugs at the scene. So I would feel stupid if I was him.
Well, yeah. I mean, he jumped to a conclusion that ended up not being accurate. He probably should have waited to see what exactly it was. You know, they come to a celebrity quickly. You know, whenever a celebrity dies, they go to the people that they worked with to get a quick
comment.
Can I get a quote?
Yes.
Yeah, so he obviously wasn't thinking very clearly.
But the Twitter quote he got at first,
yeah.
He should have just left that alone.
Right, probably.
And say, I don't know why it happened, but I will say, even if he said, I knew her well, she had some troubles,
right.
But you drink, you do drugs, you're going to die.
Now, we don't have time to do this here. If we have time on the stream, I want to bring this up. This is a discussion I had about Erin Moran a couple years ago when the stories kind of came to light that she was at a trailer park in Indiana and she was being evicted from the trailer park. So I had this conversation when I was doing the late night show about that. And people were saying it's probably better to have never had the success that she had had early on, because then you think, well, this is the way my life is going to be. I'm going to be I'm famous now and I'm making a lot of money, and that's how the rest of my life will be. And sadly, as we've seen with a lot of young actors, it doesn't pan out that way. So the argument was, is it better to have not had that success at all and not become accustomed to it and try to just live a normal life? Or is it better to have had tasted that fame for a decade and then lost it?
Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at
all. Right.
All right. Well, let's take a break. Let's talk about that on the stream.
We'll talk about that on the stream. All right. News is next and then more show. It's the Bernie and Sid Show, WGN. Thanks, Ryan. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. You know how to reach us, right? It's easy. You dial 312. You pause for a few seconds, then 981. You take another breath, and then 7200. You can call us there or you can text us there. All right. We started this discussion, and we didn't have enough time to finish it. And we said, let's do it on the stream, but let's do it now. Here's what it is. Erin Moran died over the weekend. She, of course, played Joni Cunningham on Joni Loves Chachi. I'll tell you the one episode I thought she really shined was the Dren episode. You remember the Dren episode where she kept calling Potsy her Dren and nobody understood why? And she said it's because it's nerd backwards. Do you remember that episode? Very, very special episode.
Well, for you.
It's a very special episode.
Because you're a Dren. Well, no, you're not. You're
I'm
at frontwards.
You can't Kevin, write down that I'm suing Wendy. Write it down.
Before we get going on this, can I just ask you, do you like nerd or geek better?
Well, that depends. You mean if somebody was to refer to somebody
but lovingly,
as
like,
either a nerd or a geek?
Yeah, because like Jimmy Mack is one or the other.
Yeah, you're not sure which?
Well, I have to be careful which one I call him. Like, he's okay with geek, but he doesn't like nerd. And then you've got Chris Hardwick, who just rolls on it, and Nerdist.
Nerdist, right, yeah.
I say roll with it. I don't think either one is derogatory anymore.
Well, the word geek originally was the guy who bit the heads off of chickens at circus sideshows. Those were geeks. Did you know that?
No.
That's where it comes from.
And then Best Buy just took it to a whole new level,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes, they did. They made it an occupation to be proud of. But then, where would dork fit into that hierarchy?
That could be a euphemism for something else, and I don't think that should be used. That's all
right.
I'm saying. I
we
think you should go
dork
nerd
from
or
the
geek.
Record. You can either be a nerd or you could be a geek. So which is more
I'm
honorable?
I'm just asking you. Like, Jim does not like nerd. He's okay with geek.
I would say that.
But he does bite heads off chickens.
I've seen him bite the head off of a chicken. The one time that super chicken over in San Diego, he tried to bite that guy's head off. Ted
That's
Giannoulis.
A big bite.
All right. So I would say for myself, in some things I have nerd tendencies, and then in others I have geek tendencies.
And not one bothers you more than the other?
No.
Kevin, which do you prefer? Because, you know, I live and work with geeks and nerds. Not dorks.
I don't know that I understand the difference there.
It's a subtle difference.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is being stuck on the Eisenhower every day, I take a look at all the buildings. They're coming a long way on the Rush hospital renovation. Mm-hmm. And then I see this building called Nerdery, and I said, Nerdery? I don't think that's really going to make people walk in there. Is it a bar? What is it? And
that's
I looked it up. It's a software company.
Oh, it's an even better name for a software company.
So the Nerdery, I am very proud of you.
Wow.
I say it loud, say it proud.
That's the name of the year.
I know. Jim does not like nerd. He's okay with geek. You play Magic the Gathering, which I also saw online. They're looking for someone to work there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to develop games and stuff. I was going to pass it along to you.
I think I side with nerd. I'm more of a nerd. I'm a closet nerd.
I'm okay with doofus also, by the way.
Dingus.
Because that dingus is fine.
Where does dweeb fit in there,
dweeb
too?
Dweeb is very honorable.
No, that is not. Those are derogatory.
No, I don't think so. I think those are terms of endearment.
And let's face it, we've all been called a lot worse.
Today.
Yeah. I think nerd and geek, I like both of them.
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
I'm a nerd about certain things.
Yeah.
I'm a geek.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dork.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
nope.
I am.
Nope. All right. So that was the episode. If they said to me, put together your best Joni Cunningham moments, it would certainly be the one where she fell in love with Potsy. Now, the next week, she wasn't in love with him anymore. That's one of the pitfalls of episodic television, is sometimes they use it as a plot device and they quickly abandon it. So that's what happened there. Anyways.
Sorry to bring
up. No, that's all right. Please.
I'm a doofus.
All right. So when the story about her, Erin Moran, being in the trailer park in Indiana first materialized, so we're going back about 5 years at this point, right? When that happened, we talked about it on the late night show, and I don't remember how it came to be, but some caller called up and said, don't you think it would be better to have never had the stardom that she achieved early on? Because then there's not that expectation that that's the way the rest of her life would go. She worked steadily for 10 years doing Happy Days, and then did a Love Boat here or a Fantasy Island there, and that was kind of it, you know? So their point was, isn't it better to have never tasted that so you don't go, well, that's the way my life is going to be from now on? And I said, no. You know, it's so rare to achieve what she achieved. She was a household name. Everybody loved the show. Happy Days was a big, popular television show. And I'd imagine that every day she'd walk outside and people would see her and say great things about her. Why would you want to give that up? I know the rest of her life didn't go well, but that, I'm not blaming her, but at some point you got to make an adjustment and go, well, I'm not working in TV anymore. I got to find something else I love.
Right. And you know, we don't know how hard I know she had a great run with Happy Days and would have loved to have been in something else, but how hard did she work at it to try and get roles?
Right.
I don't know that. You don't know that.
Right.
So I know there's a lot of childhood actors. In fact, one of those stupid clickbaits where it says, who's not in the business anymore?
Yeah.
There are a lot of younger actors who were in some pretty big things and just decided, you know what? I'm going to go to school and do something different and get out of the business. I'm assuming she would have loved to have still been in the business. I don't know how hard she worked at it.
Yeah.
But she had a nice thing going.
I think so.
I don't think you should have regrets in any of your life unless you're terribly mean to someone.
Right.
It shapes who you are today.
Right. And I imagine if you had stopped her and said, which would you have preferred, to have never reached that fame early on in your life? She was 14 when she got Joni Cunningham. Now, she did.
She looked younger to me.
I think they made her look a little younger.
They did a good job.
As we mentioned yesterday, she had done a bunch of shows prior, you know, an episode here and an episode there. But I think her first regular
That was
series.
Her breakthrough role. She
yeah.
did My Three Sons and Family Affair and
yeah.
a couple other things.
Yeah, always as a friend of one of the kids that were already on the show. All right, so I think if you said to her, which would you prefer in your life, to have never have had that happen? How could you say, no, I wish I had never done that? Because that was a big part of her. And it's sad she never got anything close to that again, But that's the roll of the dice, right? With show business, you know, I mean, for every story, like a guy like Ted Danson, who was in show after show after show, or Tony Danza, who just keeps finding jobs. There's so many actors who will get that one show and then you just never hear from them again.
We have this one show now. Who knows what tomorrow might bring?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to regret the times we shared together.
Mm-hmm. But there's no guarantee if she sold insurance or worked construction that her life would have turned out any better.
Right. Absolutely.
And I heard when Dean Richards was talking on the Steve Cochran show today that Ron Howard and Henry Winkler were one of the only people from the Happy Days cast that got this payoff. And then I think it was in 2012 or something that Anson Williams, Marion Ross, Aaron Moran,
and Tom Bosley's family.
They tried to get more money
and they did. They got some more money.
$65,000. They were asking for millions, and it was because of all the
lunchboxes, action figures.
Did you have a Happy Days lunchbox?
No, I didn't. No.
I guess you were too old.
But I did. I told you, if I wanted to impress a girl, like if there was a roller skating party or there was some event that I knew that there were girls, I would wear the Fonzie shirt because I knew that was that's the one. It was like a blue denim shirt with a cartoon Fonzie on it, thumbs up, and it said A. And I went, well, you
didn't wear
that. I'm
going to
go home alone if you wear this shirt. That's for sure.
You wore that in public?
Yeah. Got it at Gately's in Tinley Park.
How long has that place been out of business?
As soon as they sold me the shirt, they closed up shop. They said, we found our fool. We found our doofus. We found our geek.
Hey, everybody bought that shirt.
That was
I
very
might
popular.
Have had one, too.
It's a very popular shirt.
I'd rather be seen in the A shirt than a poodle skirt. Come on.
All right, we must take a break. What are your thoughts on this? Would it have been better, not just for Aaron Moran, but anybody like that, to have never tasted that fame and gotten a flavor for it and said, oh, this is the way life should be. I'm going to live like this forever. Better to have that early on or not have it early on? 312-981-7200. We'll be back in a minute. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps.
You're a geek, a dork, a nerd, and everything else.
Jealous?
I don't know. Let's bring it to the listeners. I had mentioned my three sons, and for some reason, Dodie came to my head.
Dawn Lynn played Dodie. At some point, Steve, the father on My Three Sons, gets remarried to an actress, Beverly Garland, and along comes her young daughter, Dodie, played by Dawn Lynn.
And you asked
me. For three seasons. I said, do you know who her brother is in real life, this little girl who played Dodie, Dawn Lynn? And you didn't, and then I said,
the guy with the blonde hair who was kind of an actor and kind of a rock star, but he wasn't really good at both.
Right. And that's Leif Garrett, and that's her brother. And
you're proud of yourself for knowing that?
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
All right.
All right.
Good for you, dork, geek, wampus.
Wampus?
I don't know. All right.
Wampus.
We were talking about Aaron Moran, and Bill posed the question, which is a very good question, something to ponder. Is it better to have had the riches of being on that show and then lost it, or to never have had it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Frank, your thoughts?
Hey, Bill and Wendy. Well, of course, nobody knows what's going to happen when you become famous at a young age, if that's going to tarnish your life as you grow up. But what I like to say is, Ron Howard and Aaron Moran, they pretty much grew up together on that show. And then Ron Howard accelerated to do greater things with producing and directing. But maybe he knew at an early age that she was troubled, and that's why he probably never used her in any of the material that he did in the future.
Can I tell you something weird? When we first discussed this on the Late Night Show 5 years ago, two different people called up and said, I can't believe Ron Howard doesn't help her out. What's wrong? Ron Howard's a multimillionaire. Why doesn't he help her out? But that's a personal thing.
It's not his job.
Now, but that said, Ron Howard always finds, there's an actor named Gavin O'Herlihy, and nobody knows who that is, but Gavin O'Herlihy is one of the two actors who played Chuck on Happy Days, the seldom seen Chuck. And Ron Howard does put Gavin O'Herlihy into almost every one of his movies.
Because he feels guilty that he wrote him out of Happy Days?
Well, he didn't write him out.
He just disappeared.
He did disappear. Yeah.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
I know you're big on trivia. Happy Days wasn't the original title of the show. Do you know originally what it was when it was in the pilot stage?
Yeah, it was on an episode of Love American Style, and it was called Love in the Happy Days.
No, I had heard, and I believe I read this in a couple different
You should
places.
See his face right now, Frank. He's like, oh,
I'm
no.
Startled. What was it?
Well, it was supposed to be titled New Family in Town.
Oh.
And I don't know how it got, because if you think about it, Happy Days, there's no relation to the title and the actual show. So I don't know how it got turned around, but it was New Family in Town was the original name of the show. But I'm glad it got changed for whatever reason.
Except I don't remember the Cunninghams being the new family in town, were they? They just always lived in Milwaukee, right?
Well, they may have started the story that they had just moved to Milwaukee from wherever.
Oh, okay. From the Netherlands.
Happy Days really doesn't even explain anything about the show itself.
Right. No, that's true. Except that they were going for like an obvious nostalgia spin, you know, it being the 50s and all.
They just wanted to use the song.
Maybe. Although the first few seasons, they didn't use the Happy Days theme wasn't used. It was Rock Around the Clock, right, by Bill Haley?
Yeah.
That was for the first season or maybe two seasons.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can't go head-to-head with the dork, the nerd, the doofus.
Thank you.
What was
Keep
the
going.
Other one?
Geek. What else?
I think I covered them all.
Wampus, you said.
I don't know.
I'm looking that up. I don't
going
think
back
that's
to
even
a Christmas story. Anne, how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to mention that by the time Erin finished Happy Days, she was in her mid-20s or somewhere in there.
Yeah, 24.
And a lot of times serious mental health issues will appear and like...
After adolescence and when you're out on your own.
When you're out on your own and so like by... polar issues or schizophrenia will show up and so then a lot of times people don't understand what's going on and they'll start acting weird and self-medicating, drinking, doing drugs or whatever, and if she didn't get the appropriate kind of help, you know, then it's very difficult, and so I'm sure she had struggles all along. And And even if you are understanding, like Ron Howard would probably know her very well, but even when you reach out, if they don't accept the help or you know, there's nothing you really can do.
That's true.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you for calling,
Anne. Appreciate it.
And that's true. And it's not... Ron Howard's job to keep her working.
It isn't.
He keeps his brother working, Clint.
Clint, yeah.
Because someone has to. Someone has to. Since Gentle
Who
Ben.
Who would have been better in Gentle Ben than Clint Howard?
No one. After that's really all you needed to see him in.
I guess.
And quite honestly.
In the movie The Ice Cream Man, did you ever see
that?
Oh,
that's pretty good.
He's
too.
Excellent in that.
I wouldn't go excellent. I would say he's Clint Howard.
I don't think Robert De Niro on his best day could have done that.
And Erin Moran was not that great of an actress, I got to tell you. She was better when she was a kid. Come on, Bill. She overacted a lot in Joni Loves Chachi.
I can't confirm or deny that.
Why are you shaking your head yes, then?
I just have a nervous tick.
Okay.
We will take a quick break, and then Elyse Glink will be in. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.